Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. Every week, he takes what happens in the news and explains how it affects you and your real estate. Brad is a licensed California real estate broker and general contractor with over four decades of experience in real estate sales, construction, and property management. Real Talk is sponsored by Realty Stars, California Department of Real Estate, license number 009-05326. Real Talk is a Brad Maskey production.
Welcome to Real Talk, California comrades. This is Brad Maskey, broadcasting from the formerly free state of California with your New Year's weekend, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, depending on where you're listening to this, or when you're listening to this, Real Talk. Yeah, Real Talk is where we take what happened in the news this week and we tell you what it means to you. But at the end of the year, we take what happened in the news this year and tell you what does that mean to you if you're a conservative Christian. How does it affect you and your real estate? And of course, 2022 has been a wild and crazy year. Now, 2020, we had the lockdowns. We had the things we thought would never happen, that couldn't happen in America, that the government could not tell you to simply get locked down. 2021, we said, wow, we're glad we're almost over that, but the government refused to release power. They said, we must continue to protect you from the China virus. Yeah, you're not allowed to say China virus because they're lying about whether it came from China or not. Oh, wait. They know it came from China, but to call it the China virus, or to call it the Asian flu, or to call it the Spanish flu, or you can call it the Asian flu and the Spanish flu, but you can't call it the China virus because of China. See, politically correct woke speech is part of the year of 2022, and that's what we want to talk about again, is what happened in 2022. 2021, we were locked down. We should have been let off of lockdown in 2022, but in most of the states, the emergency powers of the state continued because the leftists who have control of our government, most of the states, the leftists who certainly have control of the U.S. government, the socialist leftist communist party, the Democrat Party, that's what they have become, controls the United States and controls California. It's one party rule. And we talk about that every week here on Real Talk. What does one party Democrat socialist party rule mean? Well, in 2022, as I've talked about all year long, it means a lot of things that are negative to your freedoms, negative to your ability to have your own business, to have the right to change class. Yeah, what happens in communist states, what happens in socialist government areas is that you end up with two classes of people. You have the haves and the have-nots. The haves control you. They tell you what you can do and what you can't do, and the have-nots just beg for the crumbs down at the bottom. You blow the middle class completely out of your government. And if you out of your government, out of your state, out of your country, take a look at California. That's what we've done. We're blowing the middle class out of California. We don't want them here. We want them gone. You don't need the middle class. You don't need manufacturing jobs because manufacturing is polluting. You don't need that. All you need is service workers, people to work at restaurants and fast food places. And the service workers, that's all we need in California. And then we need the upper end people, the people to tell you how to do it and what to do. That's what California wants. That's what socialist states create. So we have this massive homeless crisis. California, despite having 10% of the population of the United States, has a third of the homeless, caused by a variety of reasons. If you listen to the real ads, it's not caused just by the price of housing, but that's part of it. It's caused by addiction. It's caused by government policy. And did it get better in 2022 with Governor Newsom all in on stopping homelessness with Governor Karen Bass from Los Angeles? And I have a question for you. BASS is Bass, but it's also Base. You know, how do you know how to pronounce any of the English language? Karen Bass. All in on stopping homelessness. So is that working for us? And the answer is no, it's not, California comrades. Do you know why? These are man solutions. Man caused the problems and man's trying to make solutions. And they're not God-based real-world solutions. God-based real-world solutions would be trying to help these people to live a better life by helping them to get cleaned up from their drugs and alcohol, And sometimes getting cleaned up from your drug, alcohol, and addiction problems means you get locked up. We've done a show on that. We'll talk about that, too. California doesn't lock you up anymore, so you never get a chance to get sober. If they do lock you up, it's not long enough for you to break that addiction pattern. But the housing market, that's what everybody wants to know about. Predict the housing market. What's going to happen? Is it going to crash? Is it going to drop 30, 40, 50%? Is this the new Great Depression, the new re-recession, whatever 2007 and 2008, 2009 were called? And if you've listened to my show, you know that it's not, that we're going back to what we call a new normal. Now, a new normal might be a way slower housing market, might be way more expensive mortgage rates. And in California, with the price of housing so high, it does mean that it has to slow down. The market has to slow way down because most folks can't afford housing at 6.5% interest with a 30-year mortgage when the median price of house in California is $800,000. San Joaquin Valley, we're better. We're under $400,000 for our median price. And you can still find starter homes at just over $300,000. Now, we talked about inflation, and I said this is the one thing that's critical you understand, is that you understand the rule of 72s. The rule of 72s, if you want to know how inflation affects the cost of things, the rule of 72 says if you take the inflation rate, the interest rate, the rate of return, and you divide it by 72, it'll tell you how long it takes to double something. So if I could get a 12% rate of return on my money, every 6 years my money would double. If I had $100,000 and I were able to invest it and earn a 6% rate of return, in 6 years, that $100,000 would be $200,000. In six more years, it would be $400,000. Concurrently, also, at 6%, it'd be 12 years before the money doubled. At 2%, it'd be 36 years before your money doubled. So do you understand that's the rule of 72s roughly tells you that when you compare inflation rates, when you compare all of those things, you can see how long it takes for stuff to double in cost. So when I look at that, I could tell you that in 2013, for example, we'll go 2012. At the end of 2012, 10 years ago, a starter home in the San Joaquin Valley cost about $135,000 to $140,000. Today, that exact same home is over $300,000, which means it's more than doubled in cost in 12 years, which means that the inflation rate for houses has been 6%. You'll be told that that's a historically normal rate, but it's not been historically normal for the last 25 years. Only in the last 10 years. That's right, it has not been historical normal. Historical normal has been very small inflation, then upticks in the economy where house prices go way up, and then they freeze, and then they drop a little bit, and they continually move up over time. But what we saw was super cheap money. We saw the COVID housing boom where everybody had money, and we saw the change in housing where the big cities lost population base because of COVID. The people wanted out of the city and wanted to be where the rest of us always like to live, and that's where the weather is beautiful, where things are nice. Oh, wait, it's the same weather. It's where the government is different, and we don't live on top of each other, and we don't have quite so much homelessness. But we've seen that trend continue in 2022, people leaving the state of California altogether, or people moving into the rural areas from the big cities. And we see the cities that are really in trouble. Speaking of cities in trouble, you have to take a look at San Francisco. San Francisco's in huge trouble economically, and their troubles will continue. They're losing their tech base. They're losing their office workers. They're going to see a massive recession in San Francisco. And as with the rest of the state, where we're just now pushing the minimum wage to $15.50 an hour beginning January 1st, it was supposed to be $15 an hour when the law was passed, but it was inflation-based, and based on inflation, they're saying it now has to be $15.50 an hour effective January 1st. San Francisco has been doing minimum wages of $20 to $30 an hour for the last several years, and they're driving people out of the city. They can't afford it. You couldn't buy a house in San Francisco even if you're making $40 an hour. With the median price over $1 million, you can't buy there. So they've made themselves unaffordable. You can't live there. The traffic is horrible. The homelessness is horrible. The theft is horrible. The beautiful city of San Francisco, that beautiful city on the bay, has been destroyed by public policy. That's right. I think you need to get aware of public policy and what that does. What does it do to cities? What does it do to neighborhoods? What does it do to your schools? And I talked last week about how the left, the communist socialist government, wants to destroy America. They're doing it through the Biden administration. They're doing it through the Newsom administration. And they're happy to be doing it. They're happy to be destroying our country. California has become known now as the abortion capital of the United States. We're the sanctuary state for abortion. We're the sanctuary state for where people need to come to mutilate their children. That's what California wants to be known for and known as, and they consider that freedom. They consider it freedom that our schools are the worst in the nation. All right, there's two states that might be worse than California and what your children learn. Our universities appear to be absolutely worthless, not just California's, but all over the United States. They've become indoctrination centers where you don't actually learn anything about living real life. You learn that real life is horrible. You learn that you're supposed to judge people by the color of their skin. You learn that everything about America is bad and horrible and that the government owes you a living. Who is the government that owes you a living? Who is that other person that's supposed to pay your way? This is what 2022 has become. We've pulled the veil off of the Communist Party that's running California and running the United States right now in the bureaucracy. They're not even afraid to tell you anymore this is who they are, that they don't mind indoctrinating your children. They don't mind what they teach them by having the drag queens invited to show the kindergartners what it's like to get twerked in the face by a male that's pretending to be a female. But this is not sexualization, according to them. This is just normal. And how dare you even question it? Yeah, this is the new California, the new norm, the new United States, and Elon Musk. Oh, we have to talk about Elon Musk in the next segment, about how he went from the darling to the hated one. How could they hate him so quickly? Yeah, isn't it amazing how the left has turned on Elon Musk? Elon Musk was their darling. Remember, if you're long-term listeners of Real Talk, I've done shows about Elon Musk was making no money, but because what he was doing was green, and green is good, and it was good for the environment, he was absolutely the darling of the left. They just absolutely loved Elon Musk. But now Elon Musk refuses to be woke, and they don't love him anymore. This is Brad Maskey. You're listening to Real Talk, and yes, it is New Year's weekend or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, and I'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
I'm proud to have Mike Lindell as a sponsor. My wife and I use his towels, his sheets, his slippers, and his pillows. They're reasonably priced. They're made in America. The gel insoles are wonderful in the slippers. Conservatives are under attack, and Mike has stepped up to support us. Please help support this patriot and our show by going to MyPillow.com/Brad and entering the promo code Brad for huge discounts on all of his products. Or go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Brad for huge discounts, or call 800-895-1243. 800-895-1243. Gentlemen, if you want to be a hit with your wife, here's what my wife says when I ask her, "Honey, where do you want to go for dinner?"
"Can we go to Crawdaddy's? I love Crawdaddy's."
So I ask my wife, "What is it that you like about Crawdaddy's?"
"Things I like about Crawdaddy's. I love downstairs where everybody seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like Cheers. And you walk in and you know half the people there. It's great. And you sit around the bar and you listen to live music. And it's just a really fabulous entertaining evening. And to top it off, you've got really great food. If you want a little bit more romantic setting, you can go upstairs to the second floor. The staff is wonderful. It's just a cool place to hang out. There's nothing else like it in Visalia.
Be sure to take your wife to Crawdaddy's at 333 East Main Street, Visalia. And remember,
kids love Crawdaddy's too!
How should you go about choosing your mortgage lender? Why does it matter? The answer is customization. Everybody's needs are different. Customization is key, and at Vero Mortgage, you are why they exist. Vero specializes in conventional loans, refinance loans, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. That means you have access to a customized mortgage solution from Vero Mortgage, and all right here in the Central Valley. Underwriters from Vero Mortgage are in-house and local throughout Central California, with offices in Visalia, Hanford, Fresno, and San Luis Obispo. Contact Jeremy Engel at Vero Mortgage today. Apply online at jeremyengel.com. Local, in-house, customized mortgage solutions are available to access now. You can reach Jeremy Engel at 559-734-5000. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. This is Brad Maskey. If you missed part of today's show and all of my shows are available at realtalkbrad.com. or wherever you download your podcasts, iHeartMedia on the app. You can find me almost anywhere under Real Talk. And also, please support our sponsors. That's how we stay on air. And those of you in the San Joaquin Valley who are listening, we have the California Ag Show coming up in February. And with that with that ag show, we will have lots of people from all over the world. It's the largest ag show in the world. And it also fills our hotels and all of our restaurants, and they do it during Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day week is when the Ag Show always is. That week was picked because it's the week where it's most likely to rain in the San Joaquin Valley statistically, and so it usually does rain. Why would you pick the California Ag Show outdoor show? Well, there's lots of tents, but you're walking around in the mud in a week in which it would normally rain. They did that because that's when the farmers can take time off so they too can attend the ag show. But the point of that is that if you want reservations for Valentine's Day at a restaurant in Visalia, Tulare, in this area, you better be making them now. And nothing better than Crawdaddy's in Visalia for a restaurant for Valentine's Day and to see all the people who are visiting from all over the world. I believe Valentine's Day this year will be on a Tuesday, the first day of the farm show. So we welcome those guests when they come. We'll talk about that more as we get into next year. And speaking of rain, isn't it wonderful to have all of this rain? I'm sure you've all noticed it, that we're now above normal average. Remember, we're in the worst mega drought ever, and it's going to be a continued mega drought, and there's not going to be any more water. Oh, wait, they lied again. They lied when they said it's the worst mega drought ever, when they said it's the worst drought in history. All of those things are lies. And we know that they're lies because it's easy for us to go back and look at the record and see how much water there has been. And I do that often on this show. I say, look at this. This is the fourth in since the 1800s when they've been recording this. This is the fourth driest season or period. It is not the worst. Way before man caused global warming, as they call it, we had in California cyclical weather where we had drought, then we had lots of rain, then we had no rain, then we had a lot of time with no rain, then we had a lot of rain for a long time, then we had no rain. And I've covered that over and over on this show. It has nothing to do with man that we can tell so far. And in fact, I talked about it last year. One of the big lies of the year was the big story. Watch out, California, because you're going to get the storm of the decade, the century, the every 200-year storm. It's going to flood you and kill you because of man-caused global warming. What were they talking about? The 1860-1861 rainstorms that flooded the San Joaquin Valley, that flooded Los Angeles, that flooded San Francisco, where parts of California got in a few days 20 and 30 inches of rain, where the water in the San Joaquin Valley, where I live, everybody had to go to a hilltop to survive. That happened way before we have man-caused global warming. And yet man-caused global warming is going to make it happen again. Be ready. But I want all of you folks to think. Now, if you were a sentient thinking being, which we as humans are supposed to be, if you knew that you lived in an area where the rainfall was cyclical, where you had lots of rain, then not very much rain, then lots of rain, and so on, and you believed that there would be less rain in the future, as a sentient person, a thinking human being, what would you do to protect your lifestyle, to protect your agriculture, to protect your drinking water? What would you do? You would build more water storage. That's what you would do. As your population grew, although we quit growing in California, you would build more water storage. What has California done? We've passed $30 billion worth of water storage bonds, $30 billion to create new water storage since 2000. What have we done with the $30 billion to create new water storage? We're in the process of tearing down four older dams in California, in Northern California, to recreate river flows. We've given billions of dollars to the environmentalists to tell us how to save water. We've given $1 billion to people to tell them to take out your trees and your landscaping and the things that clean the air and make where you live beautiful. We've burned billions of dollars telling you, teaching you, helping you to learn how to conserve water. That's what we've done with $30 billion to restore water storage. What did we do a year ago when we had an early storm? We talked about it on the show when we got great rainfall last year. At the end of December and January, they flushed all the water out of the reservoirs into the ocean, saved none of it. And then what happened last year? It didn't rain. We didn't get our spring rains. We didn't get our February rains. And so what happened over the summer is the farmers in the San Joaquin Valley got no water. And when they get no water, then they're forced to pump the water out of the ground, and they're forced to take the aquifer and deplete it. And we've been doing this for 25 years, not giving the farmers any water, giving them less and less water, forcing them to pump the groundwater, and then they can't understand why the aquifer is being depleted. So now they're going to stop them from doing that. And what is the purpose of all of that by the environmentalists? They don't want people growing food in the San Joaquin Valley. The Garden of Eden, you can't grow food here. Learn to grow food in your own backyard, assuming you can have the water to do that. And look at how difficult that is, anybody who grows a garden, although lots of us are starting to do it. But this is the environmentalist not allowing us to do that. And watch what they do with this water. Any smart government that actually cared about having enough water for citizens right now while we have all of this rainfall would turn on the pumps and fill the reservoirs. You turn on the pumps and fill the reservoirs at least to 2/3 full. Then you could watch it later in the year. If you got massive rainfall, then you could do some releases. But I'll tell you, that's not what they're going to do, and that's not what their intention is. Their intention is, as soon as this series of storms is finished, they'll drain the reservoirs. They'll pump it into the ocean. That's what they'll do with it. And then if there's no water later in their year, they'll say, sorry, farmers, the water just didn't come this year. You don't get water again. Sorry, California cities, we're in a drought. Quit using water. Quit watering your lawns. Tear everything out. You know what causes man-caused global warming? It's called the heat shield effect. When you have concrete everywhere and you have rock front yards and you have asphalt everywhere, that raises the temperature in your cities by 3 to 5 to 7 degrees. But let's tear out all the green stuff, because California water is more important to be in the ocean than for you to use it. Yeah, I've dwelt on this, and I have to dwell on it because here it is. I said that when we came back from the break, though, I was going to talk about Elon Musk, and I have to talk about Elon Musk. He was the darling of the left. Remember, just 5 years ago, they couldn't give him enough money. Owning a Tesla was a badge of honor that I bought the $100,000 Tesla because I care about the environment. Elon Musk cares about the environment because he's building these electric cars. Elon Musk was the darling of the left. Oh, how he has fallen. The left now hates him. An op-ed in the Los Angeles Times last week was about how that I bought a Tesla because I wanted to show my loyalty to the environment, and now when I drive the Tesla, I feel ashamed. Yes, it shames me to drive the symbol of Elon Musk because I found out what a horrible person he is because he's not woke, because he won't follow the woke policies of the left. Yes, Elon Musk is hated. Elon's pulled back the curtain, and he's showing the man behind it, controlling it, who's not a wizard. He's an evil government. He's an evil government bureaucracy behind the curtain. He's evil people running the bureaucracy behind the curtain, telling you what you can and can't do, trying to shape your opinions, and not allowing anything but the government propaganda to come out. And Elon Musk is revealing it. And for revealing that, he must be hated. Yeah, California, we are lucky to have an Elon Musk who came here. And if you believe in green energy, and what about his SpaceX stuff? All of those incredible things that he's done. You don't like that either. You don't like the fact that he's able to provide internet in places where there is no internet. He's trying to do it at a reasonable cost. But no, he's hated. He's hated because he dared to not follow the woke ideals. California comrades, if you keep voting for the same people, you keep doing the same things, you'll keep getting the same things. On Unreal Talk, we talk about it every week. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the real estate markets, what's going on. We're going to talk about what the new laws are, how they could affect you. We're going to talk about some of the old laws and how the old laws are still affecting you and your real estate. And of course, we will continue to rip on the left for the crazy things that they do. This is the end of the year. I hope you're enjoying your New Year's weekend, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. This is Brad Maskey, listening to Real Talk.
Right now, it's your tomorrow. Right now, it's everything. Like the old song says, right now is the right time. Right now, if you're looking for a customized mortgage loan solution to meet your needs, Vero Mortgage specializes in offering conventional loans, refinance loans, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. Right now is the best time in the world to make it happen. And Vero Mortgage makes it easy online. And they're also local, local, local. Underwriters from Vero Mortgage are in-house and local throughout Central California, with offices in Visalia, Hanford, and San Luis Obispo. Contact Jeremy Engel at Vero Mortgage today. Apply right now at jeremyengel.com or give Vero Mortgage a call. You can reach Jeremy right now at 559-734-5000. The time to call Vero Mortgage is right now. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800.
Let me tell you about one of my favorite places to go for dinner, lunch, Sunday brunch, or just to hang out and have an adult beverage, Crawdaddy's in Visalia. Downtown Visalia is one of the most vibrant downtowns in California, and one of the best parts about it is Crawdaddy's. Crawdaddy's is a New Orleans-themed building and restaurant designed and dreamed into being by the owner Keith Korsgaarden in the early 2000s. Keith and his brother Troy had a dream. They bought and converted a 35-foot-wide former used car parking lot into one of the most beautiful buildings in downtown Visalia. Not only is the building a sight to behold, the food is awesome. Steak, lobster, hamburgers, french fries, calamari, salads, clam chowder, split pea soup, jambalaya, mac and cheese, and so much more. The next time you're craving a good time, come to Crawdaddy's at 333 East Main in Visalia.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. This is Brad Maskey. You are listening to Real Talk. If you missed part of today's show and all of my shows are available to download at realtalkbrad.com, or you can get them wherever you find your podcasts. And please share them with your friends. You know, last week my inspirational story was a Christmas story. It's a story to remember. I do that story about every 4 years. I look back, I did it in 2014, 2018, and 2022. I had several folks ask me for a copy of that. It is its own podcast if you want to hear it. And even though I am relatively live, I'm recording a new show for New Year's, and I hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve, New Year's weekend. I am going to play that again because I was asked by several people who missed it and who want to hear it again. That in my final segment, that will be in the show. Again, the Christmas story, a story to remember. And again, get your kids in, listen to it. It's a story that everyone should hear. It's a story about values. And we do try to talk about values on this show. Values as in how Elon Musk is hated for his values, how Christians appear to be hated for their values. And of course, this is the segment of the show where we start to talk a little bit about money. Those of you that are new listeners, third segment is always our finance segment. And we all know what a roller coaster ride interest rates took this year. Recapping it will be very simple. We started the beginning of the year with super cheap interest, giving money away. Interest rates, 30-year fixed, as low as 2.5% to 2.75%. It moved up into the 3% range. And then finally, the Federal Reserve did what they should have done in 2016. They began to raise interest rates to try to slow down the insane real estate market. Yes, insane real estate market. And so interest rates got as high as 7.25%. They retracted back a little bit at the beginning of December. They got down below 6% temporarily. They've moved back again closer to 6.5% at this point. Again, more than double what they were before. And what has it done? It's done what it's supposed to do. It's slowed the housing market way down. It might have temporarily busted the housing market, but there's so much demand in California that it has not. We have taken our sales levels back to 2013 and 2012 sales levels. The volume of sales is way down, but the price is still pretty high. The biggest declines in value we've seen are about 8% in some of the areas. Some areas like the San Joaquin Valley where I live, the decline in value might only be 3% and 4% from the peak in the springtime. And it's still well above last year and still going to be a year-over-year price increase compared to the year before. Again, I always argue with National Association of Realtors, California Association of Realtors. I almost always disagree with their economic forecasts. More often than not, I am more correct than they are. But they're predicting that house prices will increase next year. I'm predicting house prices may decline up to 10% next year. So we'll see who's right. The volume of sales, of course, is going to be way down. And this is a benefit for you if you're a buyer. If you're a buyer, when the volume of sales changes, this is a time in which you have a chance to buy the house that you want. I know the interest rates are high, and you could take those higher interest rates for right now. If you can afford them, you may have opportunity in the future to refinance at a better rate. So don't buy it unless you can really afford it. Don't let the house own you. But the key to generational wealth is home ownership. That's right, buying a property and keeping it for 20 and 30 years. That's how you create generational wealth. Remember that we said that if the inflation rate is 6%, that in 12 years the value of a house could double. So if you could buy a house for $400,000 or $500,000 today, in 12 years it's $1 million, and so on. That this is how generational wealth is created, and this is what drives the left nuts. They say that only white privileged people can buy houses. I do agree. There was a lot of discrimination back in the 50s up until the early 60s. I do agree that it was horrible, that what they were doing, the redlining by saying certain races couldn't live in certain neighborhoods, was horrible. But I'm sorry, that wasn't the only story. There were people that were able to escape that and to buy houses. And today, California has one of the lowest homeownership rates in the nation. We have that because of government regulation and higher interest rates, and our higher housing costs are caused by government regulation, by zoning. So one of the big stories of this year is about all of the rules to break the zoning and what they're going to do to create more housing in California next year. They'll allow you to build in shopping centers now. They'll allow you to build duplexes on almost any lot now. And they believe that's going to begin to break that cycle of shortage of housing. But with each of these laws came a trade-off. So you couldn't just make the law. You had to make a deal with the labor unions. What kind of deal did you have to make with the labor unions? You had to make a deal that if I build something that's supposedly affordable housing, that I have to build my affordable housing using prevailing wage and local labor unions to do it. So what's the difference in cost between prevailing wage projects and a locally built project? I can tell you what the difference in cost is in the San Joaquin Valley, okay? I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly in Los Angeles and San Francisco and other areas in my market, but I can tell you what it does in our valley. So I've told the story before about a church that was built. They build the same church all over the United States. When they build the church in California, it costs almost three times as much as when they built it in Texas. It's the exact same materials. Everything about it is the same, except the cost of the labor, the cost of the permits, the cost of the administration, and all of those things that add to it and triple the cost of it because of the prevailing wage requirements. That wasn't even a prevailing wage job, though, by the way. It was just California. So we take a look at a school that's built in California. A tilt-up concrete school building costs $500 or $600 a square foot to build right now in the San Joaquin Valley. And yet a Class A office, one of the nicest luxury offices in the San Joaquin Valley, is built at a cost of $200 a square foot. That's the cost of prevailing wage. We're building 1,400 and 1,500 square foot houses that we're selling on a lot for $300,000. But if I build a 900 square foot affordable housing apartment, each unit costs $400,000 to $500,000. If I build a tiny home that I could buy for $40,000 to house the homeless, I build it under prevailing wages and all of the governmental regulations, it's $140,000 for that 300 square feet. So this is the cost of government regulation. This is not changing in California, California comrades. So what do I predict for the future? I predict that in the future, housing will continue to be expensive, that you won't see all the new housing created that you thought would be created by all these new zoning rules, and the new housing that will be created will only be affordable if the government, meaning you, the taxpayers, pays the difference in cost so people can live there. Without the subsidy, there will be no affordable housing because they haven't changed CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. CEQA has stopped building in California for years. It stopped it in every neighborhood. The left knows how to use it for whatever they want. They can stop you from doing controlled burns in the forest. They can stop you from maintaining forests. They can stop you from building dams. They can stop you from building new housing. And then they can claim, we've got to do something to help the homeless. We've got to do something. We've got to do something about the high cost of housing. It's you evil developers. You're making too much money, never blaming themselves. So my prediction is that next year the housing market will continue to limp along. Interest rates will not get that much better, but there'll still be a market. There'll still be a reason for you. If you're a home seller and you've fixed up your house and you have it in great condition and you make it marketable, your house will sell. It may not sell with multiple offers. You may have to give some concessions. You have to make sure everything's repaired. That's a normal real estate market. People just going out and buying a house as is, no inspections, is not a normal real estate market. Ask the majors out there. Ask the Zillow. Zillow has about 3,200 houses right now. They bought to fix them and flip them. They've had them for almost 2 years now. They have not been able to fix and flip them yet, and they're in huge trouble. Look at these major people that are going to change the real estate market. It's going to be completely different in the future. It's going to be all internet-based. People will buy their houses over the internet. You won't pay any real estate commissions. It's all going to be wonderful. All of those businesses are beginning to find out that business model only works when we're in a booming, red-hot economy, when anything will sell. And we'll find that in a regular economy that if you don't have a reasonable profit on it, you can't stay in business. Sure, when you're selling stuff like hotcakes, when everything will sell, it works. But that doesn't work forever. So I predict that we're going to see some changes to that. You're going to see some changes to all of those online housing sites. They're still going to be offering some discounts and some good information for you. But there will be changes. This is Brad Maskey. You're listening to Real Talk. And after the break, again, at the very end of today's show, I'll tell my Christmas story. But thanks for listening. Hope you're enjoying your weekend and have a happy new year. One of my primary sponsors is my good friend Keith Korsgaden with Crawdaddy's in downtown Visalia at 333 East Main Street. Here's just a sample of their menu. New Orleans spaghetti and meatballs, chicken or pork marcella, pasta jambalaya, blackened catfish, crab cakes, calamari, salmon filet, a shrimp platter, chicken or shrimp Alfredo, Cajun shrimp, prawn scampi, daddy's ribs, New York steak, ribeye steak, filet mignon, grilled halibut, bassa filet, chicken cordon bleu, bayou butter prawns, lemon butter chicken breast, lobster tail, lamb chops. This menu is fantastic. So are you hungry yet? This is just a sample of their dinner menu, not including their specials. And remember,
kids love Crawdaddy's too!
Rising interest rates have changed the market. Property owners still need loans, and they need somebody they can trust to assist them with their loans. Internet lenders make the process seem so simple. Just push a few buttons and give them some information, and here is your loan. They always promise to have the best rates and terms. How do you know this is true? When people call me about a purchase loan, a refinance, a second mortgage, a VA loan, or an FHA loan, I tell them to call Jeremy Engel with Vero Mortgage. With offices in Fresno, Visalia, and San Luis Obispo, Vero can give you personal service and will answer all of your questions to make sure that the loan you get is right for you. You can reach Jeremy at 559-734-5000 or on the web at jeremyengel.com. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
My wife and I use the MyPillow products. They're reasonably priced. They're made in America. Please help support this patriot in our show. Go to MyPillow.com, enter the promo code Brad for huge discounts on all of his products.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. This is Brad Maskey, and you are listening to Real Talk. If you missed part of today's show and all of my shows are available at realtalkbrad.com or wherever you get your podcasts. You can download and listen to them. And I hope you're enjoying your New Year's Eve weekend, wherever you are when you're hearing this. Again, 2022 has been a crazy year, not nearly what we expected, nor neither was 2021. President Biden has destroyed our border. We've got people coming across the border like crazy. The state of California has passed all of the legislation they wanted to, the legislation that makes us the abortion capital of the world. If you want to kill your unborn baby, come to California. You have the constitutional right to do it right up till the day before it's born. If you want your children mutilated, if you want them to be neutered, come to California. We'll protect you. Heck, you can kidnap a relative and bring him to California. We won't let them be extradited. We'll let them be neutered here. That's what California has become, despite our best efforts to stop it. All right, that's enough for the mean stuff and all of those things. I'm going to replay my inspirational story from last week, from 2014, from 2018. I think it's worth listening to, so please pay attention if you like to hear good stories. And here comes this year's story. And now for this week's story. I first read the story on air in 2018, but again, I think it's a story that's well worth repeating, and certainly it's a Christmas story to remember. It was Christmas Eve, 1881. I was 15 years old and feeling like the world had caved in on me because there just hadn't been enough money to buy me the rifle that I'd wanted for Christmas. We did the chores early that night. For some reason, I just figured Pa wanted a little extra time so we could read the Bible. After supper was over, I took my boots off and stretched out in front of the fireplace and waited for Pa to get down the old Bible. I was still feeling sorry for myself and, to be honest, I wasn't in much of a mood to read scriptures. But Pa didn't get the Bible. Instead, he bundled up again and went outside. I couldn't figure it out because we'd already done all the chores. I didn't worry about it long, though. I was too busy wallowing in self-pity. Soon Pa came back in. It was a cold, clear night, and out there was ice in his beard. "Come on, Matt," he said. "Bundle up good. It's cold out tonight." I was really upset then. Not only wasn't I getting the rifle for Christmas, now Pa was dragging me out in the cold, and for no earthly reason that I could see. We'd already done all the chores, and I couldn't think of anything else that needed doing, especially not on a night like this. But I knew Pa was not very patient at one dragging one's feet when he'd told them to do something. So I got up and put my boots back on, got my cap, coat, and mittens. Ma gave me a mysterious smile as I opened the door to leave the house. Something was up, but I didn't know what. Outside, I became even more dismayed. There in front of the house was the work team, already hitched to the big sled. Whatever it was we were going to do wasn't going to be a short, quick little job, I could tell. We never hitched up this sled unless we were going to haul a big load. Pa was already on the seat, reins in hand. I reluctantly climbed up beside him. The cold was already biting at me. I wasn't happy. When I was on, Pa pulled the sled around the house and stopped in front of the woodshed. He got off, and I followed. "I think we'll put on the high sideboards," he said. "Here, help me." The high sideboards? It had been a bigger job than I wanted to do with just the low sideboards on. But whatever it was we were going to do would be a lot bigger with the high sideboards on. After we had exchanged the sideboards, Pa went into the woodshed and came out with an armload of wood. The wood I'd spent all summer hauling down from the mountain and then all fall sawing into blocks and splitting. What was he doing? Finally, I said something. "Pa," I asked, "what are you doing?" "You been by the Widow Jensen's lately?" he asked. The Widow Jensen lived about 2 miles down the road. Her husband had died a year or so before and left her with 3 children, the oldest being 8. "Sure, I'd been by. So what?" "Yeah," I said. "Why?" "I rode by just today," Pa said. "Little Jakey was out digging around in the woodpile, trying to find a few chips. They're out of wood, Matt." That was all he said, and then he turned and went back into the woodshed for another armload of wood. I followed him. We loaded the sled so high that I began to wonder if the horses would be able to pull it. Finally, Pa called a halt to our loading, and then we went to the smokehouse, and Pa took down a big ham and a side of bacon. He handed them to me and told me to put them in the sled and wait. When he returned, he was carrying a sack of flour over his right shoulder and a smaller sack of something in his left hand. "What's in the little sack?" I asked. Shoes. They're out of shoes. Little Jakey has just had gunny sacks wrapped around his feet when he was out in the woodpile this morning. I got the children a little candy, too. It just wouldn't be Christmas without a little candy. We rode the 2 miles to Widow Jensen's pretty much in silence. I tried to think through what Pa was doing. We didn't have much by worldly standards. Of course, we did have a big wood pile, though most of what was left now was still in the form of logs that I would have to saw into blocks and split before we could use it. We also had meat and flour, so we could spare that. But I knew we didn't have any money. So why was Pa buying them shoes and candy? Really, why was he doing any of this? Widow Jensen had closer neighbors than us. It shouldn't have been our concern. We came in from the blind side of the Jensen house and unloaded the wood as quietly as possible. Then we took the meat and flour and shoes to the door. We knocked. The door opened a crack and a timid voice said, "Who is it?" "Lucas Miles, ma'am, and my son Matt. Could we come in for a bit?" Widow Jensen opened the door and let us in. She had a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. The children were wrapped in another and were sitting in front of the fireplace by a very small fire that hardly gave off any heat at all. Widow Jensen fumbled with a match and finally lit the lamp. "We brought you a few things, ma'am," Pa said, and set down the sack of flour. I put the meat on the table. Then Pa handed her the sack that had the shoes in it. She opened it hesitantly and took the shoes out one pair at a time. There was a pair for her and one for each of the children. Sturdy shoes. The best. Shoes that would last. I watched her carefully. She bit her lower lip to keep it from trembling. And then tears filled her eyes and started running down her cheeks. She looked up at Pa like she wanted to say something, but it wouldn't come out. "We brought a load of wood, too, ma'am," Pa said. He turned to me and said, "Matt, go bring in enough to last a while. Let's get that fire up to size and heat this place up." I wasn't the same person when I came out to bring back the wood. I had a big lump in my throat, and as much as I hate to admit it, there were tears in my eyes, too. In my mind, I kept seeing those three kids huddled around the fireplace, and their mother standing there with tears running down her cheeks, with so much gratitude in her heart that she couldn't speak. My heart swelled within me, and a joy I had never known before filled my soul. I had given at Christmas many times before, but never when it had made so much difference. I could see we were literally saving the lives of these people. I soon had the fire blazing and everyone's spirits soared. The kids started giggling when Pa handed them each a piece of candy, and Widow Jensen looked on with a smile that probably hadn't crossed her face for a long time. She finally turned to us. "God bless you," she said. "I know the Lord has sent you. The children and I have been praying that he would send one of his angels to spare us." In spite of myself, the lump returned to my throat and the tears welled up in my eyes again. I'd never thought of Pa in those exact terms before, but after Widow Jensen mentioned it, I could see that was probably true. I was sure that a better man than Pa had never walked the earth. I started remembering all the times he'd gone out of his way for Ma and me, and many others. The list seemed endless as I thought on it. Pa insisted that everyone try on the shoes before we left. I was amazed when they all fit and wondered how he had known what sizes to get. Then I guessed that if he was on an errand for the Lord would sure make sure he got the right sizes. Tears were running down Widow Jensen's face again when we stood up to leave. Pa took each of the kids in his big arms and gave them a hug. They clung to him and didn't want us to go. I could see that they missed their Pa, and I was glad I still had mine. At the door, Pa turned to Widow Jensen and said, "The missus wanted me to invite you and the children over for Christmas dinner tomorrow. The turkey will be more than three of us can eat, and a man can get cantankerous if he has to eat turkey for too many meals. We'll be by to get you about 11. It'll be nice to have some little ones around again. Matt here hasn't been little for quite a spell." I was the youngest. My two brothers and two sisters had all married and moved away. Widow Jensen nodded and said, "Thank you, Brother Miles. I don't have to say may the Lord bless you. I know for certain that he will." Out on the sled, I felt a warmth that came from deep within, and I didn't even notice the cold. When we had gone a ways, Pa turned to me and said, "Matt, I want you to know something. Your ma and me have been tucking a little money away here and there all year so we could buy that rifle for you, but we didn't quite have enough. Then yesterday, a man who owed me a little money from years back came by to make things square. Your ma and me were real excited thinking that now we could get you that rifle, and I started into town this morning to do just that. But on the way, I saw little Jakey out scratching in the woodpile with his feet wrapped in those gunny sacks, and I knew what I had to do. Son, I spent the money for shoes and a little candy for those children. I hope you understand. I understood. My eyes became wet with tears again. I understood very well, and I was so glad Pa had done it. Now the rifle seemed very low on my list of priorities. Pa had given me a lot more. He had given me the look on Widow Jensen's face and the radiant smiles for three children. For the rest of my life, whenever I saw any of the Jensens or a split block of wood, I remembered, and remembering brought back the same joy I felt riding home beside Pa that night. Pa had given me much more than a rifle that night. He had given me the best Christmas of my life. When I played that story last week, I had several folks who emailed me, called me, and asked me to give them just that story, and that is available. It's called The Christmas Story. It's available on my podcast. It's just that story. Again, you know how things have changed since the 1800s. I know that people are still greedy, that people still want, but think about the lifestyle. And if the Greens have their way, we'll be living like that again soon, where we only have power when the wind blows or the sun's shining, and the rest of the time, when it's hot, you won't be able to use it. When it's too cold, you won't be able to use it. But we've talked about that before. I hope you have a wonderful New Year's weekend and prepare for a wonderful new year. This is Brad Maskey. Thanks for listening to Real Talk.
Sponsored by Realty Stars, California Department of Real Estate, license number 00903526. Real Talk is a Brad Maskey production.